This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Welcome to Family Matters. I am Clayton Wimshurst. I also have across the desk from me, Gina.
Hello.
Big long last name that starts with a...
According to my coffee cup, though, tonight I'm Jenna.
Jenna.
Why not?
Hi, Jenna.
I know.
Nice to see you.
Some other spelling. But anyway.
This is your rainbow familing show. I cut you off. This is your rainbow familing show. Familing. I'm making up words now.
Well, you've had a long couple of weeks.
It has been a long few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't been in the best of health, so I haven't been doing radio for a while. So.
But you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm all doing all right.
Now, we've got a big show tonight.
We do. We are talking to the author of a new book, as well as Adoptive Parents, which is like unicorns within unicorns.
I know, and because we've had a lot of gay dads that have come here on our show, mostly through surrogacy or foster care. Maybe they've had another family and they've got a new rainbow family because of a separation. We've never had adoptive parents come in. So I know I just heard a ghost come through the door.
Oh, so weird noises happening in here.
There's some spooky stuff going on. So I'm really excited to hear that adoptive parent journey because we've not had a chance to hear it on Family Matters before. So excited about that.
But what we wanted to do first is we wanted to give you an update, just a little bit of an update on the sort of hoopla.
I think hoopla is the official term for it now.
That hit the media last week and has continued less so this week around private schools and religious schools being able to reject teachers and students based on their sexual and gender identity.
We're going to play a little clip to just in case you've been, I don't know, in a cave somewhere or just, you know, asleep for the last week or overseas or something. What's actually happening in the media at this point in time?
I'm proud to rise to speak to this Greens bill to remove exemptions from our federal anti-discrimination laws that currently allow religious schools to expel lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender or gender diverse students and to fire LGBT teachers and staff members simply because of who they are. These exemptions must be removed.
That was Janet Rice, who was in Parliament the other day introducing the bill basically to remove discrimination against LGBTQI kids and parents. Now, one, she makes reference to Rainbow Families Victoria and the information they have been providing to the senators, but she also gives the example of a step-parent who is worried about their kids being discriminated against. And amongst all the information we've been hearing, you know, now there's 20 recommendations that have been leaked. We still don't have very much information at all. It's been really nice to hear people like Janet also now including rainbow families because we know there are so many parents, and Felicity was great. She was here with Mad Wednesday yesterday talking to the guys and also talking about there are rainbow parents who have kids in religious schools at the moment who are exceptionally nervous as to what this might mean for them now that everyone seems to be aware that you can discriminate.
Both sides of politics have been very up and down on this issue.
Yeah.
With Labor actually saying that they wouldn't be changing it and then later on saying, I think we will.
Yeah.
And even Scott Morrison saying he wasn't comfortable with the gay students being evicted. I'm calling it evicted at this point. And the issue also is we're not really recognising gay teachers, but the bigger issue is that we're only using this word gay.
Gay.
It's gay.
Gay, not lesbian.
No.
I mean, I use gay for myself, but not lesbian, not bi, and especially not...
trans or gender diverse.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So the other day, about 50 LGBTI organisations and ally organisations have joined forces, basically calling out the government to protect trans and gender diverse teachers and students because there is nothing that, you know, while the politicians are coming out, Janet's a bit different. Janet's been great and we love you, Janet. But a lot of the politicians, like you said, Clayton, have been coming out saying, oh, we'll protect the gays. And it's like, hang on. from what we're seeing at the moment, we're not getting any assurance that anyone else within our community, and our trans and gender diverse kids and teachers, are probably the most vulnerable in this space, and they need to be protected too. So we want definite assurances that if you're going to take care of some of us, you take care of all
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, and let's stop in a whole lot of different things using the word gay to define the whole LGBTI communities.
It's because not hard to say LGBTQI.
And there's lots of other ways to say it if you want to.
Yeah.
But it's gay is not a defining term for all of those things. And I have been quite annoyed at that recently in media.
What's the headlines?
Yeah, like, oh, this show's getting LGBTI representation, and then it gets a bit of G.
Yes.
And so, well, no, yes, it's got some gay representation. It doesn't have a whole gamut.
Yeah.
Now, I have another story. It's still not a happy one. I'm going to be a bit more ranty for a few moments.
Now.
So this week, a mother allowed her child to go to school. At a vet, it wasn't school, actually. Mm-hmm. And this mother was a teacher, dressed as Hitler.
Teacher? What? Hey, go.
Yeah.
What?
So this child went to a Halloween party dressed as Hitler, which is a huge issue for a whole lot of people, including, of course, Jewish people primarily, but also the queer community were very badly treated during those periods and the Holocaust. And so this mother has been defending it, saying, my child made the costume himself, I'm very proud of him. And, yeah, it's been rather disturbing. So I wanted to take an opportunity.
Just in case there's people.
Yeah. When you are planning your child's Halloween costume...
In the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, please remember...
Or book week, perhaps.
A book week, anything. Yeah, book actually, week. This happens in book week.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it,
not
doesn't.
Hitler so much, but I've definitely seen, like, blackface in book week. Not at high school. Oh, no, I won't tell that story.
Boy in striped pyjamas? Is that something kids maybe do?
No, I would actually be okay with that, though.
Yeah.
Because I think that's taking things from a different angle than...
And it's the child's point of view, hence, you know, if the child's young enough to be reading that book.
And it's a great book, and I've read it with my students.
Yeah.
And but please make sure that you're not doing any blackface in your costumes, no brown face, no yellow face. Native American costumes are out. Aboriginal costumes are probably out, because there's this whole concept of culture, not costume. Mm. And it is offensive, and to see, for people to see their culture represented, misrepresented in such a way. So,
can I give, look, I love the ABC. I'm always a big fan of it. Black Comedy is back on with their current new season. Last night's episode does the reverse of blackface, and it does whiteface.
Nice.
And it is a very funny skit with Black Force. So my advice is go and check out ABC iView. Yes, I will give it a plug, because Black Comedy is one of the funniest shows that's out there at the moment, and must watch that, because it's exactly that, but it reverses it.
And,
and it is Shane Warne, and it's just one of the funniest skits. So
I'm all for reversing it. That's a totally different thing. But we've actually got a giveaway.
We do.
So we're giving away this book called Gay BCs, A Queer Alphabet by Ray Congdon. Let's not say that badly.
Yeah, careful how you answer that.
It is a book that goes through the alphabet in a gay way.
Can I just say, I love reading to Harper at the moment, and, you know, alphabet books are, there's plenty of them, everything from, you know, big A, little A, what begins with A, you know, with Dr. Seuss. But a lot of the ABC books are very heteronormative. There's a lot of M for mummy and D for daddy, and my family doesn't look like that. So it's a bit confusing. It's going to become confusing for Harper.
Yeah.
Whereas L here could be ladybird, but they've struck that out, and L is for lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just M is for MX, which is a gender-neutral alternative to Mr. and Mrs.
Indeed.
Now, this is a great, really funny kind of ABC book, not only for kids. Adults are going to love this.
Absolutely.
And we have two copies of this book to give away, the Gay BCs, A Queer Alphabet. Really simple. All you need to do is message in. We need your member number so we can get this to you. But
kind of won a prize in the last week.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a bit flexible with that stuff.
but what we want you to do is message in and let us know what your Halloween costume is going to be, or, if you like, what you are definitely not wearing for Halloween.
What would you not wear for Halloween?
Blackface.
Yeah, I think that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's
Hitler.
Yeah, okay. That's, you know. Pauline Hanson?
I would not go as Pauline Hanson.
No, Pauline Pansdown does it well enough.
She does.
She does do it well enough.
I've never done drag, but that's another story, another thing. All right, so to start off the show, we are going to play a bit of very classic Muppets, which is almost Sesame Street.
We're going to lighten the mood.
This is from the first episode of the Muppets.
This is the coolest song ever.
It is Mana Mana.
Gorgeous Katie Noonan, and you are here on Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You were just bringing up the mood after my rants to start the show.
It was a that's a gorgeous song,
it
isn't
is a lovely
it?
Song.
Katie's actually, she was in the studio with Dano and Mason a couple of weeks ago, and I fangirled her at the front of the studio. It was so much fun because she's got this gorgeous version of I Can Sing a Rainbow through Play School, and I'm going to play it on air maybe next week because it's just good. And I told her how much I loved it. But anyway, that's Katie. We're not here to talk about Katie. We are actually here to talk to the lovely Chris and Sean. Now, Chris is an author of a new kids book, which is very inclusive of his rainbow family with Sean. But before we get started, Halloween, Hitler costumes in your array of kids' costumes, because you've got three kids.
Yeah, we do.
There's three kids. No?
Actually, no Hitler costumes.
No
Hitler costumes.
No,
definitely not.
If one of the kids came up to you and said, Daddy or Dad, I'd like to dress as Hitler.
I think we'd most probably recognise their creativity and steer them in another direction, I think.
I'd be like, oh, well, you've learned a lot about history already.
Yeah, well, exactly. Look, I can understand an SS uniform if they are in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And it kind of ends there. Yeah, and, you exactly. know, Prince Harry got away with it.
He did. And as we said before, there is the boy in the striped pyjamas who has, the fury.
Yeah. So maybe they can read that book and then reconsider their choice.
Yeah.
And still not let them wear it. But anyway.
So if you would like to win a copy of the Gay BCs, which will teach you things that are not about Halloween. You can send us in a message with your, it's not called a user number, what do we call it?
Membership number.
And we will hopefully be able to give you a copy of the Gay BCs if we have enough copies.
Well, H is terrible. For heteronormative. Like, seriously, this is not only a book for kids. This is clearly a book for adults that could have a lot of fun with. F is for femme, not flower. Well, it could be both. D is for drag. So that's an example of, and it gives definitions for what all of these words
mean. I love this book already.
I wouldn't share this with a child. I'd be just enjoying it myself. Just my bedside.
That's a good coffee table book, I think.
It's a great coffee table book.
I will be getting a copy for my collection of such books.
It's a lot of fun. So, yes, message in 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au to win one of the two copies of that book. Just need your member number and what you would or wouldn't wear on Halloween.
Oh, that's part I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Easy. Nice. Yeah, we're going to make them work for it, Clayton.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to our interview. So, first, Chris and Sean. So, you are the adoptive parents of the very lovely Lee, Alicia, and Jay.
Yes, that's correct.
We are.
Now, before we get started, if Beck was in the studio, who's one of our other co-hosts, before we talk about the kids and that parenting journey, she'd actually want to know the romance. Mm. How did you two actually... What's the love story? Oh, what's the...
Which app was it?
Wow.
We actually met before apps existed, the old-fashioned...
Before the internet?
Not quite there, but definitely before the smartphones.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a long time ago.
We met at a nightclub in London.
Oh, that is old-fashioned.
Yeah.
That is
very old-fashioned.
Yeah. And the nightclub was called Heaven.
Yeah. So we joke that we met on the steps of Heaven. That's
cheesy lover.
Cheesy
story.
Vomit story.
Was there a particular song? Was it Bronski Beat playing?
It wasn't. We actually physically met on the steps. So I was coming down the stairs. Chris was going up the stairs. And Chris had been in London for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And
fresh.
He asked me, what's upstairs? And I said, oh, it's the R&B music room. And he said, oh, can you show me? And I kind of looked back to see who... Yeah, definitely. Off you go. And then 16 years later, we're still...
Wow.
Yeah.
And married?
Singing the song.
Yeah, married.
In the UK or in Australia?
Canada.
Actually, in Canada.
In Canada?
Yes.
You didn't wait for it? Because you could do in the UK for a little while, and we just got it last year.
Yeah, prior to the UK, we got married in Canada. We lived there for a year, and at the end of our year, we squeezed it in to part of that journey. So
So that means you've been in Australia for a period where your marriage was not recognised.
Correct. Mm.
And oh, wow.
Which was quite confusing for the kids.
Yes.
Because we were in England and we were married and then we moved back here and...
you were sort of married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explaining that to the kids also was quite difficult.
Yeah. So how long have you been back in Australia now with the kids?
Nearly 2 years.
Nearly 2 years.
February would be 2 years.
Yeah. So how was that debate for them, watching the marriage equality debate? Were they, are they old enough to understand?
They're too... I think they're too young. We took them to the rallies.
Mm.
Chris took them to the rallies.
Yeah.
But we kind of steered... They were too young to recognise it in full force. And because we had our fingers crossed that it would definitely go through, we didn't make it a huge part of the conversation, having already... the awareness that we were married. So it was kind of like... Mm.
But I think one thing that we learned from adoption was the truth.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, we just literally told the kids that, you know, we're going to go to this parade and we're going to shout loud enough until the government changes their mind. And it's just as simple as that. And they understood that and they came along and it was,
Yeah.
They would have loved all the colour.
They did.
We have so much more to find out about these two.
We do.
But we're going to have a little bit of a...
Pay the bills.
Yeah,
totally.
You're on Family Matters, Nearly Say Geeks Out, on Joy 94.9.
The life issues that, well, matter. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
We are talking to Chris and Sean about their, well, so far their romance on the steps of heaven. But we're going to move into what happened after that.
Oh, gosh.
So, obviously, you checked out R&B Night. You liked R&B.
So, we had a year in London, and we would have been 23, 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. And
so, about a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Complexion.
As much as I love London, I think Australia was calling home too soon, actually, after about a year.
Mm.
And I made all these promises. I said to Sean, I'm going to be in England forever. And then I think after a year of my first backpacking trip, I was like, I'm going to go home now.
Yep.
And he was this worldly person. I'm traveling the world. I'm going to spend 3 years in Europe. Then I don't know where I'll go. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then he's like, nope, I'm going back to Australia.
Yeah.
And I dragged along.
The bubble of the Mornington Peninsula, I think, sheltered me a little bit for the real life world in London. And, of course, I came back to Australia with my tail between my legs, I think. And, but then Sean came with me, which was amazing. And we spent a lovely 10 long years in Melbourne together. And before we decided to go back to the UK, actually, and spend the, another 5 years with Sean's family in London, which is where we adopted the kids.
So. And that's what we were going to ask, because it was only, I think, last year that adoption was made legal here in Victoria for LGBTQI couples.
That's right, yeah.
So was that one of the reasons you wanted to return to the UK? Was that in the back of your minds that can't really do it here?
Yeah.
Let's head back to the UK, or was that just something that kind of...
Yeah, it was definitely part of our thinking. We had always said that we would go back to the UK to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
But then we also then, throughout our relationship, discussed having a family and what that would look like and whether we would go through surrogacy. I remember watching a television program and having conversations here in Melbourne years ago. And then as time went by, we started to explore or think about different options, and knowing that in the UK we could adopt, it, I suppose, supported that it was the right time for us to be there and do that then.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So you both always, is that the kind of, is it, you know, I know I ask this of everyone, is this the kind of thing where it would have been a deal breaker if the other person didn't want kids the relationship?
I think it would have been a deal breaker, but Chris actually asked on our very first date. So when you say what happened next, we met that night in heaven, and then a week later we actually went on our first date to a bar called Mantos, and we'd been texting that week or something, and we
very old-fashioned phone.
Yeah, I know.
We called up for drinks, and then during that first night, Kristen said, so what about children? And I said, oh, no, I don't think I'll have children. I'm gay. Like, it's not going to happen. It was, in my mind, it was not even
a
thought or an option.
Yeah.
And Chris said, oh, you know, you could have children. You might have children with a friend, or you could adopt.
I was like, don't let the government or anyone stop us. We will do what we want, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so he kind of popped my bubble, and I was like, oh, well, yeah, I suppose so. Like, I loved being an uncle.
Yeah.
I think I was a pretty good uncle.
Gunkle is still the official term. Now I think that's in the book that we're giving away to you for Gunkle. So, yes. Yeah. No, I think it's gay, actually.
It should be. That's for
and addition
to... Yeah, and that's the thing. Similar to you, Sean, growing up, I loved being an aunt, and sometimes you can't dream something you can't see.
Yes.
And, you know, similar to you guys, I grew up in an era where... there was no internet back in, you know, when you're growing up and going, okay, I'm gay and I'm a lesbian and this is my future. And kids never just seemed to be a part of the world that was being presented to me, even though I thought, yeah, it'd be really cool to have kids. But
it was an absolute. I was going to make it happen no matter how it was going to happen. And we even explored surrogacy and things like that.
Yeah.
And we decided that surrogacy wasn't for us and we felt that adoption was, you know, the better path for us.
I think that's part of the journey now. When you talk about seeing visibility and how you see people in society, I think when we first adopted, I was kind of very private in that, oh, no, I can't, you know, I don't want to be on speaking about things. And the older I get and the more I look at my children and what the world will be for them, the more I feel that it's important to be part of the representation for other families and other people.
We're very happy you got over that. We make a really not great show.
And next to a song. Because now on television we've got Modern Family, that's the only other couple there where they've got, you know, a gay dads that have adopted a child. So for yourselves, what is the process in the UK really easy to access? Is there a lot of information? Is it friendly to LGBTQI couples? Here in Australia, fostering has probably been the most accepting and the most easiest option because, as we said, you know, adoptions, depending on what state you're in, still really new.
Yeah.
What was the UK experience like?
I think, in my opinion, it was... The agency that we went with was extremely friendly. I think it's open to anyone to be part of it. And I think, like anything, it depends on who you end up experiencing. But the system itself is meant to be open for everyone.
But I guess also you've got to look at the statistics. In the UK, a child goes into care every 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And whereas here, you know, only 10 children were up for adoption in Victoria last year.
Wow.
So, yeah, so there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And there's not enough people in the UK to adopt children. So so the LGBT community in the UK really fills that gap very well and very successfully
huge.
As well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But it's a vigorous process. It's a lengthy process. I think if you're... extremely private and you're not able to speak about yourself, then you're not going to
sell yourself on
We had four hours of workshops every Tuesday.
We had
workshops on the weekend, and we went to adoption school for 10 months.
Yeah.
You know what? We need parenting school sometimes because I can tell you a few parenting fails even in the last week alone.
From a teaching point of view, I'm very awful for that.
I think it's really important.
Really good in the UK. The UK system for adopting children was really supportive, really amazing, and you know we had a great journey. And we started with 13 people actually.
Yeah.
And we were the only same-sex couple, and there was a mixed blend of heterosexual people and single adopters as well. And out of our actual small group, we're the only ones that successfully adopted children.
Yeah. Did you kind of feel a bit of gay pride?
We're like, yes,
we did it.
Where's the rainbow?
But I think it's about that persistence, isn't it? Like it is a difficult system and there's lots of hurdles to get over.
And is this what they're doing? They're kind of, because I know with fostering as well, there are, you know, sessions where they talk you through what is actually involved, that people kind of go, actually, it's not for me. I didn't, you know, I'm seeing this happy, you know, little family at the end of the road, and it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not always that.
No. And nothing prepares you for it.
God, no. Can we, because, you know, again, Modern Family, they brought home Lily.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got three. Did you enjoy number one and go back for more? And so tell us about Lee, Alicia, and the gorgeous Jade.
Yeah. So Sean has a very big family, and I have not a big family as Sean, but I have three other siblings. But we
that's still big.
It is big. Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. But we discussed that we actually wanted a big family, and we got approved on the adoption panel battle for three children. So you had to actually get approved to have a certain amount of children. We got approved for three children. Mm. And so on our journey post that, which was actually only 6 months until we got approved, we were on a family finding journey for 10 months after that.
So as in... Give me one.
So we were looking for a sibling group of three.
Oh, wow.
And so there was, you know, we were on that journey, and then it just happened to be that this family was the right match. We were the right match. So it goes through a matching process.
Yes.
Mm. And so our matching process with our kids, we were a match, and we, you know, obviously we accepted, and then we had our introduction with the kids.
That's amazing.
It's really wonderful to be able to keep siblings together, because it's so beneficial for them.
And at the time, for me, I'm the youngest in my family, and Sean's obviously down the bottom a little bit. Well, he's had a lot more childcare experience than for me, but I never had much experience for me whatsoever. And we had, it was a 10-day handover with the foster carer, and we were taking on Jaylen, who was 6 months at the time.
Wow.
Alicia was one, and Lee was three. So I remember Sean first went out to, we got, the first time we had the kids alone at our house, he went out to get nappies. We didn't even have nappies, and we didn't even have anything, and I was ringing my mum in Australia going, "Mum, what do I do?" Pretty much. And we just kind of with 10 days just to get ready and just wing it, and of course the attachment period is for 3 months.
Yes.
And so we weren't allowed to have any help. We weren't allowed to have much help in the first 3 months, so it was just us and the kids for a very limited time.
Yeah, the idea is that you try to really nest as a family and allow them to recognise who their primary carer is. And we took that quite strictly within our... And we're like, no, don't come over.
Yeah, tried.
Tried. Until we burnt
till
we were, out.
Until we haven't had exhausted. Sleep with a six-month-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. When you're a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big jump. Zero to three kids.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In 10 days. We were out in 10 days, year before we actually were placed with our children, every few months, because we were on a family-finding journey, so we would kind of... be in England and say, oh, right, you know, well, we might have children next month, so let's go on a holiday, or let's go out this weekend. So we literally, the year before, just exhausted ourselves, because every weekend was our last weekend. So I think like 2 weeks we were, let's go back to heaven. Yeah, let's go back to heaven. Yeah. So we just exhausted ourselves for a year of traveling, partying, which was really fun.
So you had a lot of bachelor parties, basically.
We did. There was a lot of that.
And then straight into children. So then three children under the age of five. Yeah. And then we just, it was exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to this. Like I said, we're going to pay a few ads, a few songs. We're going to let you boys rest, because it sounds like you need some rest. You are here on Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
We are talking to Chris and Sean about their adoption journey.
Adoption journey? They went from zero to three in 24... No, not in 24 hours.
10 days.
10 days, yes. So, but Sean,
huge.
You've also written a book. No.
Chris
has written the book.
Chris has written the book.
Sean's ideas. We're taking the credit.
I'm the ideas.
Pinky in the brain here.
Yeah. You've written a book about your journey, but certainly reflective of that.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, the idea came from a friend of Sean and I, Naomi. She wrote her first book, which is called The Colourful Life, Same But Different. Mm-hmm. And that first book talks about being in a multiracial family. She's black, and her husband is white, and they have multi-heritage kids. And that book just creates awareness for children in primary school about the diversities of families. And I guess our book is touches on similar stuff, but mainly focuses on having a same-sex adopted parents.
Because it's called Same But Different Too.
Correct.
Under The Colourful Life. So Naomi was obviously inspired, but what inspired you to tell this story?
Well, Lee went to school one day, and he came home, and we discussed, I talked to him all the time, how are you going at school? And obviously so does Sean, and we always, you know, we are aware sometimes that we might need to have certain conversations about being in a same-sex couple or having a same-sex family. And Lee did get asked one day from school about, why is it that you've got two dads?
Can I ask, was this in the UK or in Australia?
This is here.
This is here in Australia.
Yeah. And so that's what the book's about. It's about, you know, Lee's journey and how he handled that and how he spoke about that and how the school handled that, which was really good. And again, it's another awareness book for kids. And there's an activity in there for teachers to do about bringing in a picture of your family and just showing how families are different, the same, but different too.
Yeah, so. I mean, you go out and you can't, there's not a lot of books for young children and teachers to really show and reflect the diverse communities. Us as same-sex parents with multi-heritage children, there's not a book that reflects our kids.
Mm. Yeah.
And so part of it was kind of, well, how do we, you can talk about representation, but how do you create a tool that's out there for people to be able to see? And I suppose that's where the energy came from, kind of putting that together.
Yeah. It's most of the people that we've had in here, most of the books that we've had, is exactly that. It is families going, I need to write a book to explain to my own child what my family looks like, because there is nothing there. Mm. And so many of these books are fantastic books, quite often on all of our shelves, because they are self-published books.
Yep.
And a lot of work goes into these stories. Yep. So, yes, there's teaching notes at the back. Who's the predominant age audience for this kids' book?
Yeah, I guess it varies, but, you know, it's probably would say, you know, grade 1 to grade 6, you know, is probably the good age for it as well. Borderline in year 7.
Yeah. Absolutely tell you the grade 6s love picture storybooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like,
I think there's a myth that they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, and it's a complete myth, because they're like, I can get a picture storybook. Yeah. Yeah. So they would definitely be all over it. Yeah.
Now, there is a really good likeness to the dads in this book. They're kind of hot.
Just a little bit buffer there than the reality.
The 3-day, you know, is it the 3-day growth? Is that what one calls it? Like, it's, you know, that's the kind of dads I want to be, you know, explaining to the rest of the class. It's absolutely gorgeous. Did the kids get it to read this first before it went out to a broader?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we talked about it with Lee. Well, with Lee first. Yeah. After I finished writing it with, and then obviously had Naomi help me with it, I read it out to Lee and said, Lee,
harsh critics. How did Lee take it?
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, that's cool, Dad.
Yeah, you know? Well, some of it is fictional, so most of it is the true story.
Yeah.
But then there's additions, and Lee's like, that didn't happen. That wasn't that part. But you've kind of, you're like, you've got to set the scene, Lee. You know, that's not the name of my school. But so they
copyright, we
can
trouble.
Get a creative license.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then the other two were kind of like, where's our book? When are we having ours read?
That's true. Yeah. But they were good. Alicia and Jay were happy to see that they were in the book.
Yeah.
So there's a little picture of them in the book. So,
Is there going to be one for them?
I guess we just have to wait and see for another situation or another form of awareness that we might think that we need to tackle. Mm. So.
Yeah. I think the awareness for just parents to have three like that, I think, is because, you know, I'm just coping with a 10-month-old now, but I remember what a 6-month-old was like.
Yep.
And I just had to worry about that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about the others.
Yeah.
When we when you came in earlier, though, you were kind of talking about how you haven't met many other gay dads here in Australia that have adopted.
No.
Was that not the case back in the UK?
No, we would go, actually, there's quite a few in the UK, and we would even go on a camp once a year with probably about 200 families.
Oh, wow.
That have been in that situation. So we have obviously had quite a large community of people that have adopted children to then come back to here to, you know, have none, basically. Oh. So we would like to reach out to other families that have had adopted kids that are in our similar situation, because obviously the needs of kids versus adoption and surrogacy are quite different. You know what I mean? So it's important to, you know, relate to your community in that way.
So. And do you think people? And is it again because adoption is still something so new here that it doesn't come up as an option that people think is achievable?
Yeah.
Do you think that's why we haven't got a take-up rate?
Definitely. I think it's around that I think the LGBT community has an opportunity to do permanent care in Victoria, and I think that there are a lot of children that are still able to do permanent care, and that's basically the same thing as adoption, except you get a lot more support, and it's still mum and mum or dad and dad, you know, it's permanent care with the odd contact if that's required. And I just don't think that our community is aware of that, and I think that awareness needs to be raised as well, so that that rainbow family can then, that community can start even more, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you know about that sort of stuff, Clayton?
I absolutely did not.
No, neither did I. Yeah. I mean, we've heard the foster care kind of journey and, you know, you can be a long-term foster carer, but then we hear the heartbreaking stories when those kids reach 18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know they're looking to challenge the 18 age at the moment to at least 21 because of the rates of homelessness.
Yep, that's right.
Once kids kind of reach that age, before they've kind of settled into uni in those kind of real formative adult years, I really hope they do change that age to 21, but it is heartbreaking because they kind of have to almost break the bond. Emotionally, I don't think that ever breaks, but they kind of do have to let these kids...
Yeah, and they transition to independence without any real...
At 18.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah. And they're still kids. Yeah.
They're babies.
Yeah.
God,
we had to move home. We moved home to Chris's parents' home last year with our three children, you know, thinking about 18. That's very, very young.
That's one way to get babysitting.
Absolutely.
Just going to move in.
Yeah.
Make it easier for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't have asked for better grandparents. My mum and dad have been fantastic. So for 2 years they've almost put up with us, and then we've finally bought a house. We were going to stay on the peninsula for 8 weeks, but it's now been 2 years because of the support that we're getting from family, which has been good. And in fact, we just bought a house right next door to my dad, which has been even better. So,
which is like the TV show you mentioned.
Yeah. It's like everybody loves. It's like everybody loves Raymond.
Is the mother-in-law the same, or
mother-in-law's not the same? There are some characteristics between the husband and wife dynamic. They tell each
she's
other.
She's listening right now. You're going to get in big trouble.
But she's a fabulous cook, and she's a great chef.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's give her points. Absolutely. So, is there any tips you would give to other dads out there, or mums out there, or singles as well from our community, if they're keen on adopting? Is a sibling model something here in that permanent care model?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously you can imagine when something's going wrong with a family, one child just doesn't go into care. They all do. So, and a lot of people don't realise that as well. So there's a lot of sibling groups available for permanent care in Victoria. Just there's not a lot up for adoption. So, yeah.
And you two look quite... They don't look... damaged by having three. Like, I just...
Which I take off my glasses.
I
actually had blonde hair 3 years ago, and now it's all grey. So
It's very distinguished.
That can just be biological.
Exactly.
I just want to say that also there's a really great book about adoption, probably not as good as yours, by Jamie Lee Curtis. Called Tell Me Again About the Night You Were Born.
Yes.
Which just goes through pre-arranged adoption, so adoption prior to birth. And it's just a fantastic story and told in a really great way. So there are books out there about adoption, but they're just a little bit harder to find. It's great to have one that actually is inclusive of the LGBTI community.
And culturally inclusive as well.
Exactly.
And that's something also lacking in our books. Now, how do people get their hands on this? We're going to share the link, of course, on our Facebook page.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's a Facebook site, and if you search The Colourful Life.
Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, it should come up.
Cool.
And it's available on Amazon as well.
On all the Amazon.
All the Amazons.
You can have it for Kindle. You can have it printed and posted out. So
I always like a book.
You know,
Sean gets upset when I get the ebook.
When you can't share an ebook,
you know, the kids can't chew on the pages.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I'm completely same with kids' books. I will always get the hard copy of the kids' book. Adult books. When I say adult, I mean, you know, four adults.
Yes,
I like books that read to me. Because I can listen to them in the car. So.
Yeah.
Now, we are going to pay some more bills. We are right at the top of the hour. Chris and Sean, we're going to keep you right until we bring in Well, Well, Well. You are here on Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters is brought to you today by the letters LGBTIQA and the number one.
We are nearly at the top of the hour, as is always the case, because we just fly through the shows. It's just because we have so much fun.
We end up talking in between all the songs and breaks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sean, And Chris, because I was going to call Sean the author again.
He's the ideas man.
Yeah. Chris, is there anything else we need to know about your book?
Yeah, again, you know, the title, The Colourful Life, Same But Different Too. And it's available on all the Amazons.
All the Amazons.
Yes. And the Facebook site is it's just search The Colourful Life. And yep. And yeah, so it just shows awareness of same-sex couples.
With adoption.
With adoption kids, yeah. That's with adoption really... kids, yeah.
Have you had any feedback from any families?
Oh, loads.
Or
loads
any
of
kids
support.
As
They're
well?
They're all listening
yeah. now. Well, that's the thing. It's sometimes it is hearing, you know, you kind of tell these stories and you kind of forget there is an audience outside of your own family. Yeah. Yeah. Outside
our,
of, you know.
Our whole family from all over England and America and Australia, they've all gone out and bought the book and they're all supporting us, which is great.
I think the biggest difference, I suppose where the cut through comes, isn't it, is that when people who aren't in a diverse family are able to get visibility and read these books. So when you're able to have it in schools, have it, you know, available to your nieces and nephews and those people who don't have two dads, that's where the cut through comes in making sure that there's some visibility and normality.
Because really, I mean, the schools that our kids go to don't really need it. You know what I mean? It's more it's the schools that don't have same-sex couples that are adopted. Probably more need it than anything. So,
and it's, the next kid when, you know, Lee goes to high school and that sort of stuff, it's... This kid might have read a book and it, you know, and it's, he sees
it
Lee's fame.
It. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have two dads. Just read this.
It's based on
manual.
Me.
Yeah.
That's me on page two. Aren't I cute? I was really cute.
But I would encourage, you know, all schools that are out there to get a copy and read it out to their kids. So
looks great. And look, thank you so much. We never, ever have enough time to share your story, but to hear that adoption story, it is something that is now possible for us. We can dare to dream to adopt kids, because surrogacy is not always an option for many parents at all. The cost alone, here in Australia or overseas, it's just not something that's viable. Fostering might not be the path that some people want to go down, because the thought of relinquishing kids is just not going to suit their family model that they want. So thank you for and you go out and promote this kind of family model. Midsummer was where you were last year.
I was last year promoting permanent care adoption. Last year at Midsummer.
So we might see you there again this year. Well, thank you, lads, so much for coming in, for getting a babysitter. Is it the Well done, Nanam Pa. Well done. Well, it's another Family Matters, Clayton.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.